The NBA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Bet $100 and get $100 at WynnBET.com or download the WynnBET app and start winning today. State restrictions apply. We're also brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Final Four Watch Party. April 1st at 7:30 p.m., SGP will be at the Ice House in Los Angeles. So come hang out with the crew. All the info at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/icehouse. All right, guys, let's get into the next game on the schedule. We have the San Antonio Spurs. They are headed to the Big Easy here tonight to take on the New Orleans Pelicans. Currently, the Pelicans are a 13-point home favorite here against the San Antonio Spurs.
Is Zion playing? Favored by 13. Is Zion playing?
I don't know. I think it's a lot of people that are sitting for San Antonio, but this line did open up at -8. And again, I think it's all predicated on the injury report, which for the San Antonio Spurs, players that are out, Devin Vassell, Jeremy Sochan, Trey Jones is doubtful. Zach Collins is out and Charles Bassey is out here tonight. So it looks like and Devontae Graham is questionable. So it looks like it's going to be the Doug McBucket and the Keldon Johnson and Malachi Branham show here tonight for the Spurs. Again, no Devin Vassell, no Jeremy Sochan. Trey Jones is doubtful. Zach Collins is out as well. For the Pelicans, sorry, Scott, but Zion is out here for this game, probably for the rest of the season.
What's his deal? Like, what's going on?
I haven't seen any updates. 6 years, $270 million. I don't know. What's his deal? Like, it's expensive.
Six and like 230, 240, yeah. Something like that.
I'm joking. I know you meant what his injury situation was. But yeah, he's on a massive contract.
Jose Alvarado is also out for this game. So, Delonte, lead us off. -13 fear for the Pelicans.
Do not watch this game. Do not bet on this game.
good advice.
Don't do it. Yeah, just don't do it. I guess if I had to give something out, I would lean to the Spurs. I'm not laying double digits on any of these bad teams. I mean, honestly, I used to make a lot of money betting on tanking teams like 4 or 5 years ago, but now, like, the talent is just so rich that it doesn't even matter. Like, some of these guys are playing for, you know, two-way deals. They're trying to prove themselves to get on a roster, get a roster spot. So they're playing extremely hard, and you always want that from an underdog. The Spurs, I mean, you just rattled off all the names that are out. So they're going to be playing guys who are going to be, like, ready to play. And, I mean, the Pelicans aren't that good to be laying 13 against probably the SGPN team if we got 5 guys or 6 guys. So, yeah, give me the Spurs, man. I just like the underdog. I don't have the data in front of me, but I can probably get it. I'll have it next show. Like, the quote unquote tanking teams have been covering numbers as of late. So I'll get that. I'll make sure I get that and get it ready for the next show. But they've been profitable covering a number as of late.
Scott.
There was a stretch roughly 2 years ago where I faded the Thunder every game when they were tanking, and I think they failed to cover 17 straight games, and I just made 20. Money on it. Was 20?
I think it was 20.
Shout out to Pokuševski. Yes, I remember they used to give him the full showcase. They'd get buried every game by 30.
They were using him like he was Joker.
It was the greatest gambling experience of my life. It was just 20 straight. It didn't matter what the spread was. They were losing every game by 20. But anyway, I do agree with Delonte that the tanking teams are better than they normally have been in years past, but I'm going to lean to the Spurs in this one. It's another game that I agree don't bet on. The closest I'll get to actually following this game is buying a smoothie. It's the closest I'll get to this game, but yeah, that's a Smoothie King Center joke.
Yeah, I was about to say
the arena, but yeah, I'm going to go with not following here. If I want to make a really fun D-gen play, Mamukashvili double-double. Let's have some fun here.
Who the hell is that?
Projected starting center.
For who?
For San Antonio. You don't know Mamukashvili?
Don't they got a guy named Fettuccini on their team?
That's
Utah. Yeah.
He's actually played some minutes, but Mamukashvili, you look at his numbers lately. He doesn't play many minutes, but the rebounds have been pretty good. Played 19 minutes against Atlanta, had 7, 6, and 5. Played 23 minutes against Memphis, 6 points, 14 rebounds. He might be our new Yurtseven. I don't know. It might be worth a shot there. But yeah, I think Mamukashvili might have some props in a double-double market if you're tempted to really go D-gen on this one.
You're really – right. All those tennis players, that got you ready to pronounce that name.
I remember watching Mamukashvili with Miles Powell back at Seton Hall. They were a pretty good tandem.
Yeah. Hey, Miles Powell, beast.
Yeah, good play. I remember he was good in the G League too. But
yeah, I'm on the Spurs here as well, guys. I mean, 13, I think that's a ridiculous number. I think it says a lot, especially for this Spurs team when they were down, 20 points, 15 points against the Atlanta Hawks?
Rallied the troops. They were 20-something on Memphis the game before that, and they choked.
Yeah,
but still.
They were.
Yeah, and they came back, and they actually won that game against the Hawks. So this might be a situation, again, that if you do see the Spurs up by a credible amount, maybe come back on the Pelicans, get a nice plus money odds, kind of like Scott mentioned against the Memphis Grizzlies, where that game went into overtime, and Grizzlies said get the victory. But I mean, 13, yeah, it's a lot. I'm not going to regurgitate everything you guys said. So let's get over to the total here, guys. 232.5 right now. Delonte, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I might lean under. Spurs have all those guys out, and the Pelicans haven't been able to score as much. Ingram has been unreal, but he's taking like 30, 35 shots a game.
He's never seen a shot he doesn't like.
Oh yeah, absolutely. He's going to shoot it. So I mean, and he kind of has to, because I mean, who else is going to shoot the ball?
Yeah, there's nobody else.
There's nobody else to shoot. So
you have McCollum, and he's been too passive this year. Anyway.
Yeah, they're just passing. They're just literally in the half court. They're passing the ball around and he's getting like 4 or 5 touches per possession. No lie, he's getting like 4 or 5 cracks at it. And I mean, I would shoot it too. I mean, what the hell? Nobody else wants to do it, but I don't think that. I mean, Spurs defense is bad. I guess I'd lean under, but I don't feel strong about it, as you can tell.
Scott, on the total?
Once again, the closest I'll get is a smoothie and Mamukashvili over. So I'm going to stay away from the side and total in this game.
Any player props, Delonte?
Ingram over. Why the hell not?
All right. Yeah, I think I was looking at Ingram. I mean, he's at 27.5 right now.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Valanciunas rebounds. It's at 11.5. I prefer it at, it's at, well, let me see. 10.5. I think it was the number I saw this morning. Yeah. It's up to 11.5. Yeah, maybe that, and then maybe my Malachi Branham, points. That number's probably around 13.5 here tonight. So yeah, maybe those two, if you want to get on some player props.
Yeah. Look at some Trey Murphy stuff too. I was looking at some Trey Murphy stuff.
Yeah. Don't hate that. All right, let's get over to the next game of the night. We have the West Coast games. Let's go with the Boston Celtics. They are going to be in Sacramento here tonight to take on the Kings. This line opened up in favor of the Boston Celtics. I'm sorry, -3.5. Currently sitting at -5. Total opened up at 239. That number is currently... consensus now has came down at 238.5 right now. So a little bit of money on the under for this game. Looking at the injury report for both of these teams, start here with Boston. Jaylen Brown is available here tonight. Other than that, pretty clean injury report. Sacramento did play yesterday in Utah, like we talked about. They are on a back-to-back situation, obviously, where they are 7-5 against the spread. They are 8-4 towards the over. In these games on back-to-back situations. Scott, lead us off here with the Boston Celtics laying 5 points in Sacramento tonight. Are we lighting the beam?
I'm going to have to. Just based on the value here, I understand the argument is the Kings played yesterday. They're in a track meet. They lost the game, and Boston's had some time off. But having said that, I don't trust Boston at all. I feel better about the 5 since Sacramento at home has been very good. Kevin Herter's been banged up, though, which definitely hurts the offense because we know how good he is at floor spacing. But I think I'm going to lean to Sacramento just because I know how good Sacramento is in fourth quarters, and that wasn't really the case yesterday. Sabonis was really just horrible yesterday. I know he had a good amount of rebounds and assists, but Kessler basically ate him for lunch. He had 4 blocks in that game. In a late-game situation, the Celtics will keep throwing Marcus Smart out there instead of Derek White, and it's killing this team. I think Marcus Smart's been horrible for this team. And De'Aaron Fox leads the league in clutch points. He'll win the clutch award. The offensive numbers are insane in the fourth quarter. I don't trust the Celtics late in games. So we just saw them lose to Utah with them playing Tatum and playing Brown, they still lost the game anyway. Markkanen didn't play in that game, right?
I don't think he did.
And they still lost to Utah.
No, he didn't. No,
and they still lost. I can't trust this team. If you can't beat Utah with no Markkanen, I'm not going to trust you beating Sacramento here. Give me the beam on the money line.
All right. Galante, what do you got?
Yeah, man, I like Boston here a lot. I think they're getting all the guys back. Now, granted, you know, Robert Williams, he could, you know, hurt himself in the warm-up line. But I think that they're a lot better when he's in the lineup because everybody can revert back to their role. They don't have to play as hard defensively with Robert Williams being, you know, the anchor of that defense. So, I mean, they've struggled as of late, 4-6 last 10 ATS. They are off of a few days rest after that tough loss to the Jazz. Right at 500 ATS on the road. I think some of the things that the Kings do well, the Celtics can combat, like transition. The Kings are elite in transition. I think they're like top five in all transition categories, but the Celtics are also top five in transition categories defensively. So they can combat that. They're third in the Sacramento is third in rim percentage offense. So Sabonis could bounce back and have a good day, but you got to think it depends on how much Robert Williams plays. So
yeah,
with that being a factor, I kind of like the Celtics to get a bounce back win here. Sacramento has been playing incredible. Like it's nothing against them. I just think that the Celtics are going to start rolling. Got a future on the Celtics to win the Eastern Conference and win the title. Bet it yesterday. While the hype is down on them. I know Mazzulla is a bit of a wild card, like Scott mentioned.
But you said wild card. I just think he's bad. But sure.
Well, I mean, I don't watch it. I don't watch enough Celtics to call him bad. But I mean, what I've been reading and hearing from guys who watch the Celtics, like Bill Simmons, he hates him. Like
his rotations late in games are absolutely atrocious. He's terrible at the rotations.
I do know the Derek White thing is concerning. He's like the third best player, and he's not on the floor in the fourth quarter.
He's never on the floor. So damn good. They don't use him.
Yeah, I don't get it. But like, I think Boston can combat everything defensively that the Kings do well offensively. So I like Boston here. I think Tatum probably is in line for a 40-point game. We'll get into that later on, but I like Boston a lot here to get the ball back rolling.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Kings here as well for tonight. I just don't trust Boston on the road. I mean, if you look at their ATS numbers, 14-22-1 overall on the road, 12-19-1 as a road favorite. I do understand they have the rest advantage here. But again, Sacramento hasn't been too bad in back-to-back situations. Like I mentioned, they are 7-5 against the spread. Non-conference road games for the Boston Celtics, 4-9-1 against the spread. And they are 8-5-1 towards the under in those non-conference road games so far this season. I think that Boston, for me, with the way they started off the season where they were just knocking down every three-point shot and there was like a regression there, it just feels like they're just ready to get to like the finish line here and just get into the playoffs, where I feel like they lost the number one seed, obviously. I think with the Bucks, I think we can all agree that the Bucks are probably going to end up as a number one seed. They have already clinched a playoff spot as well. So they're kind of in that range of either they're going to finish as a two seed or the three seed.
Do they care?
I don't think they do. That's the whole thing, right? I think they're just kind of trying to get through the finish line here of the regular season, where Sacramento, we've seen them since the All-Star break. They've been playing really well. I mean, I personally thought they would regress a little bit, but they haven't at all. They're only one game out of the second spot in the Western Conference. And I know they're trying to win every single game, especially for a team that hasn't made it to the playoffs in almost two decades.
Yeah.
So I think this is a good spot for Sacramento, despite them, you know, being at a rest disadvantage. I think Fox can have a big game here tonight. I think, like you mentioned, Sabonis can bounce back as well. I don't think we'll see Robert Williams playing more than 20 minutes here tonight. I think you got to save his legs and his body for the playoffs, where, again, you'll need him more. So being on the West Coast in the middle of this road trip, I'm going to go with Sacramento here tonight. I think they light the beam here tonight as well. Thoughts on the total here, Scott? Currently at around 238.5.
I don't think I can take an under with the Kings. I know the argument is the Celtics can stop transition, but they also kind of play fast, and I don't see much defense being played. So I'm going to go with the over. I know it sounds intimidating, but it's Sacramento we're talking about. I just think you're going to see a bunch of points. So I'm going to lean over. If I can visualize either team scoring 130, which I can, I'm not going to take the under, so I'm going to lean to the over.
Lante?
Yeah, he took my glory, man. The transition thing is really my go-to.
I used your glory against you because I took the over.
Yeah, so yeah, see, I like the under because I think that they can keep him out of transition, and once they keep him out of transition without Herter, they lose the shooter because Herter's out tonight, right?
He was officially classified as day-to-day yesterday.
I'm assuming so he's not going to play.
Yeah, especially assuming. With a hamstring injury, I don't think they want to re-aggravate it or anything
So they lose a shooter. So that means that Keegan's going to have to step up. Now, Keegan does play a lot better at home. But I think – and Monk also, they do play better at home. We all know role players play better at home. Mm-hmm. But I think the Celtics can combat some of that stuff, and I think they'll go under here. So I think they'll hold them to under maybe like 115-ish, 116-ish.
By the way, I see Darrell mentioning in the comment section that Smart's probably going to end up guarding Fox. We need to have an actual discussion at some point, just the NBA community, about Marcus Smart. Because I know he won Defensive Player of the Year last year.
Narrative.
It kind of sucks. Narrative. I don't feel like anybody's talked about it. He's kind of been horrible this year, and they keep using him. I don't think enough people realize how bad Marcus Smart actually is right now. He's terrible. And people, yeah. Not many people are talking about it.
But Jalen Brown's still on the
roster, though.
Wait, what?
I'm surprised he's still on the roster, though, because his name is always in his
contract.
Trade rumors.
His contract's really not great, but I understand he won Defensive Player and he's been a huge emotional leader for this team in the past. But
yeah.
People got to talk about it. He's been terrible, and not enough people realize he. I know I've given Clay crap for being an overrated player for months. Mm-hmm. Marcus Smart's like up there for being one of the most overrated players in the league. He's really, really bad.
No Klay Thompson slander, Scott.
I'm just saying. I mentioned Klay in the past, but I feel like not enough people know that I've been very, very low on Marcus Smart this year and really for a while. He's really just not good anymore, and not enough people realize it.
Let's get over to some player props in this game. I know a lot of guys are talking about three-point props. I know I'll mention the Sacramento's three-point defense. Over the last five games, ranks number 27 as far as makes allowed at around 14.8, rounded up to 15 makes per game. Three-point percentage, they're allowing around 39.8, which also ranks number 25, about bottom six in the league. But let's start with player props. Delonte, what do you like?
Love Jason Tatum over 27 points. I think it's at 27. You can get 27 with a little bit more juice, and 27.5 is like moderate. So
you already have a prop bet on it because if it goes under, you're buying somebody a t-shirt.
Yeah, man, I got to buy a KW a t-shirt if it goes under. But I like Tatum here. You read out the defensive numbers and went off. Tatum's been struggling as of late. He's shooting 34% from the field. And what we have here, he's shooting 19% from three. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's not good. But
he was in the three-point contest, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Favorable matchup here for him with these guys, with the Kings atrocious defense. Tatum can have some success in the mid range. Kings are bottom five in mid range percentage defense, so that's where he likes to operate. And I think he could take some pressure off his back from defending and rebounding. Now that Robert Williams is back, granted he's probably only going to play 15 to 20 minutes, but still that's enough for him to focus more on the offensive end. So I think Tatum has a big night here.
Tatum has had three straight games of 30 or more against the Kings. Earlier this year, he had 30 points. Last season, 32, 36. Did have a game of 15 points back in 2021, but he's had some success or has had success against his Kings team, at least in three straight games. Scott, any player props you're looking at?
Well, you mentioned Tatum. I'm going to pivot over to Jaylen Brown. I think both of them should have good games, but I trust Brown a little bit more based on current form. So I'm going to lean to him. Plus, his number is always lower than Tatum's. And I think that you can make an argument they kind of alternate on whose day it's going to be to take a bunch of shots. So I'm going to go with Brown over. I'm kind of tempted by Sabonis' triple-double in the spot, or Sabonis' rebounds and assists, because he's been very good lately at getting it, really all season long, but especially lately. You mentioned how Rob Williams might play. I'm not sure how much. Yeah. Besides that, he's got Al Horford. Like, I don't really see Boston having much to combat Sabonis. And he was really bad actually scoring against Utah yesterday. I think he'll be extra motivated to put in a good performance here. Sabonis triple-double. If I'm going to take triple-doubles, I want a high total. It's 239. I think Sabonis triple-double might have some legs in this game.
He's actually been pretty good against Boston. I know yesterday he felt, I think it was an assist short of a triple-double against the Jazz last night. But against the Celtics, let's see here. Last game, back on or in November. 18 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. But prior to that, last year, 30 points, 20 rebounds, 5 assists. So, yeah, maybe a points and rebounds combination. I think you can get some good value on his triple-double here tonight as well.
Yeah, I'm just looking at his numbers recently for the points, rebounds, and assists just for the triple-double purposes.
Yeah.
Against Utah yesterday, 11, 12, and 9. I'm just going to go in order. So they had 11, 12, and 9, 39, and 10, 24, 21, and 5, 14, 17, and 10, 23, 17, and 15. Had a horrible game against Phoenix where he had 17, 8, and 4. 24, 13, and 10, 19, 11, and 11. He's been incredible. Yeah. Yeah. I got to look at triple-double here for Sabonis.
See a plus 340 out there for his triple-double here tonight.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I didn't have any player props. Maybe if Kevin Huerter is out, I think you probably want to pivot to a...
Feeling Monk today.
Yeah, I think he'd have a good game. Keegan Murray, 2.5 is at minus 110. But that's the only one I did like in this game. All right, let's get over to the last game of the night here, gentlemen. The Oklahoma City Thunder, they are in L.A. here tonight to take on the Clippers. Currently, they are sitting as a 7-point home favorite are the Clippers. Line has pretty much stayed consistent because it opened up at 7 as well. Total opened up at 235.5. That number is now at 238.5. Looking at the injury report for both of these teams for the Oklahoma City Thunder, pretty clean injury report. I mean, the usual suspects are out. Yeah, and then for the Clippers, Norman Powell is going to miss another week. I saw that note come across yesterday. But other than that, everybody is a go in this game for the Clippers. Let's start with the side here. Scott, lead us off with the Clippers as a 7-point home favorite hosting SGA and the Thunder.
So for me, I'm on Thunder money line. Simply put, I don't trust the Clippers enough to be laying 7. I watched them over the weekend. I saw them lose to Orlando. I'm not laying 7 with this team. Now, I know the argument is, well, Kawhi didn't play. Orlando is a terrible road team. You got to win that game, especially if you're trying to stay out of the play-in or you're trying to improve your seeding. For me, I'm going to go with the Thunder here. This team has been a feisty underdog all season long. Assuming Shea plays and they still have Giddy, and I really like the Jalen Williams's. They've been very good together. Dort's healthy. He's a very good defensive player. I'm on the Thunder. I just think that this team is good enough to give the Clippers a serious run for their money. And the Clippers, I don't trust, especially late in games, based on what I've seen over the last couple of months. And once again, we saw it against Orlando. They did not perform well in the fourth quarter. Give me the Thunder. And this number's too high. And I think the Thunder are quite live to win this game.
Yeah, Thunder 42, 26, and 3 overall against the spread on the road this season, 19, 12, and 3. As road underdogs, OKC 18, 8, and 3 against the spread. So definitely I am with you on the Thunder here as well. They're playing hard, man. Look, I think they want to get into that play-in tournament. They are currently in that 9 spot. They've won 7 out of their last 10 games.
I hope they get in. I like this team.
Yeah, I think they'll get in. It's probably going to be Utah or it's going to be between Utah and the the Lakers who get that number 10 spot. But 11 games left for the OKC Thunder. So they know, I mean, you're going to get a max effort from them every single night. And SGA has just been absolutely crushing it. I mean, I don't think we're talking about that enough, how well this guy is playing, especially over the last, 7 to 10 games or the last 5 games, averaging close to 35 points. Had another 40 piece against the Phoenix Suns and that victory they had them on Sunday. Yeah. So I'm going to go with a Thunder here with you, Scott. I'm going to get on the money line as well. Delonte, what do you got? Team right here?
Nah, man. I like the Clippers. Oh, I'm sorry, man. Listen, I love OKC. I do. I love the youth. I love how they play. I think they got a smart coach. Of course, one of the best owners, GMs in the league. I think the matchup is not as advantageous as the previous matchups for the Thunder. Like I see the Clippers more like the Raptors, from a matchup perspective. And you saw what the Raptors did to Oklahoma City.
So yeah, now you're laying 7 points with the Raptors. It doesn't really help you out.
Yeah, but I think that was the same number. I think they were laying 7 or six, one of those. I was on the Raptors in that game, but just stylistically, I think that the Clippers are more favorable.
They have a lot of really good wings, and that can give them.
Yeah, that's exactly problems. What I was about to say. Like, they can have more wing defenders to throw at Shea. Now, they're probably not going to slow Shea down, obviously, but they can limit some of those other guys. And the biggest thing is here, I mean, Kawhi Leonard's going to be on the floor. When Kawhi's on the floor, their offensive rating is up 8 points. Like, that's how much he means to the team. When he's been playing for a month straight, I think we all talked about, I got to give him credit for playing a month straight. He took a day off or a few days off.
That's also how bad it's been for Kawhi, that we gave him full-on kudos for playing a month straight in the NBA. Yeah.
Right. That for his job. For his job, actually. For doing his job. Yeah. So, and I mean, the Clippers, they've covered four of the last five. They did struggle against Orlando. I thought that was a bit of a bad matchup for Orlando. I mean, for the Clippers with all of the length and athleticism that Orlando has. They've allowed 105 or less in three of the last five games. So I don't think the Thunder will have much success offensively outside of SGA. So man, I like the Clippers here. They gotta get going here. I mean, they're on the brink of the play-in, like Munaf was mentioning. So I think they get it done here. It's a big game for both teams and somewhat of a Shea revenge game? ?
Yeah.
Being would back it sway you at all if I told you the Thunder are 2-0 against the Clippers this season? They played back in like October, both meetings. So that's a long time ago.
Yeah, not really.
But OKC did win each of the first two meetings by at least 8 points. I'm gonna throw that out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think OKC is a lot better than they were early on, just due to emergence of those. I mean, it hurts me to go against Clippers. I mean, to go against the Thunder, it really does. Like, I love this team. I might be on them too. If they get into the playoffs, they're gonna scare somebody.
This game just screams like one possession with a minute to go to me. So I'm going to take the points.
Yeah. I don't hate it.
All right, let's get over to the total here. Scott, do you have anything on that?
Over. I mean, the Thunder, I expect to see a lot of pace. The Clippers with Westbrook have played a lot faster. I see a track meet here. Give me the over. I see each team potentially scoring 120. I see this game getting into the 240s, maybe even 250s. I'm going to go with the over.
I think my favorite play in this game, or maybe even on the entire board, it's probably Thunder team total at 115.5. But yeah, I'm with you there on the over as well. Delonte,
Jesus, total. Man, when I'm on with you guys, we never really disagree like that. It's all me and Rail always disagree, but I like the under.
We both think OKC is going to potentially win the game, so I'm not surprised you disagree because it's correlated.
Yeah, that's true. So 26 of the 35 home games for the Clippers have went under. Both teams are top 10 defensive rating in the last 10 games. So OKC is, I think, number three in the last five games, if I'm not mistaken.
Two and four.
Well, just the top five still. So
yeah.
But so I think both teams going to come out and play. Like I said, the advantages that the Clippers have is they can throw multiple guys at Shea and at Giddy. So you got to cut the head off the snake. So if they're going to have to stop the point of attack with Giddy and SGA, so I think they can do that. I think the Clippers are going to get up for this game. Big game. So give me the under.
Player props in this game. Delonte, lead us off.
Honestly, I have none at all. I would just go to Kawhi over because he is a monster.
Okay.
Great handicapping right there.
Scott?
Player I like props. The over on virtually
everybody. It's my Kobe Dant handicapping.
I like the over on virtually everybody. I mean, you mentioned Kawhi. I think he could have a big game. Paul George should, but I don't know. I feel like I always have a hard time of actually cashing Paul George props. It's like he goes out of his way to screw me over. But I like Shea as well. Giddy assists, I think, is going to have a lot of merit in this one. Westbrook almost had a triple-double. Didn't get the points against Portland. He tried, but he airballed the layup with 2 minutes to go. But that was his attempt of getting a triple-double. I see rebounds and assists for Westbrook in this game and Giddy. It's another game with a high total, so I'm going to take a bunch of overs. But I see the main usual suspects contributing. Jalen Williams rebounds, I think, is a pretty good number there. That's EN. I think that he's got a pretty good opportunity. He's been a good rebounder for this team lately. His number's pretty short. But I see a lot of guys having good games here because I like the over. So in a game that I think could get into the 245 range, I'm not taking many unders. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I think Zubac rebounds over 10.5. Mm-hmm. Worth the look. He's had 11 or more in three straight games against.
Forgot to mention that too, because against OKC, he should really do whatever he wants.
Yeah, 11, 14, and 18 in the three games against the Thunder. SGA steals in this game. I think that just looking at his performance against the Clippers, I'm sorry, he's been actually really good stealing and blocking the ball. He's had in both matchups this season, three steals in each of those games. He also had three blocks in the first game this season against the Clippers as well. Three blocks and three steals in that game. I currently see that at 1.5. And again, we know that Russell Westbrook is turnover prone. I think that, you know, he can definitely deflect some passes, get some steals, SGA. So I think this will be a big game here tonight for SGA. So don't hate his points prop either. Again, like I said, he's averaging close to 35 points per game over his last five games. He did have 33 points in that first game against the Clippers back in October. Did have 24 after that. It wasn't a great shooting night for him. He was 10 of 23. He's also knocked down at least 2 3-point shots in four straight career games against the Clippers, and then at least 5 out of the last 6 as well. So I know SGA is not a big volume guy as far as 3-point shots goes, but when he shoots it, at least against the Clippers, he does make them. So I think, again, a big SGA night here, whether it's offensively or defensively against the Clippers here tonight. You guys got anything else for this game?
I don't think I have anything else to add.
Yeah, I don't got anything.
You?
No, I think it's Team Scott Imhanoff versus Delonte here tonight. So when and if the Clippers do blow him out, then we'll be getting some messages from Delonte here tonight.
By the way, but... see Zubac double-doubles plus 105.
Okay, yeah, I like that as well.
Yeah, I like that too. I like that.
Okay. Tony, I will get to your question at the end. I know you're asking how to leave a review, but I'll address that at the end here. All right, before we get into our lock-in dog for tonight, let me tell everyone about Underdog Fantasy. Like I mentioned, it's March Madness time, and Underdog has, you know, great college pick'em games. They also have player props over on Underdog for the Sweet 16 and all throughout the tournament. So, again, if you go over to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN, you'll get a 100% deposit bonus of up to $100. Again, head over to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for a 100% deposit bonus of up to $100. Again, underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, guys, let's get into our lock and dog here for tonight. Delonte, lead us off, my man.
Yeah, man. So I'm going to go with for the lock, I'm going to go with Boston. I like the matchup. I think that they get out of that little funk that they're in. I won't get too far into the details of the breakdown because we did that a few minutes ago. But yeah, I like Boston here a lot. I think it's minus. Can I get a 4.5? Is there 4.5 out here anywhere?
Let me see. I see it's consensus 5 across the board.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, I'll lay the 5. As for the dog, I'm going to go with a player prop. I didn't like a lot of underdogs today, so I'll go with a player prop. Wendell Carter, plus 140, double-double. He's been killing it as of late. He's got a favorable matchup tonight, and I think he can go bananas against that front line of the Wizards. Also, something that I'm not playing, I mean, that I won't give out. I guess I'm giving it out. So I played both underdogs, Detroit and the Spurs, parlayed them together, got plus 280 on the parlay, plus the points. So
okay,
something to throw out there, just some piece of money.
All right. Scott, what do you got?
All right. So for my lock, I know which game I'm going to. The question is, I want to take the actual team total, or I want to take the spread here. It's going to be the Nets and Cavs game. The question is, I want to take the Nets team total under, or I want to take Cleveland to just win the game comfortably. Nets team totals at 107.5. You know what? Yeah, I'm going to let recency bot cloud my mind because I was there in person. Give me the Nets team total under 107.5. I saw them score 70 points against the Nuggets through three quarters. Like, they can't score. And Cleveland potentially getting Jared Allen back. The first meeting, the Nets scored 125. But KD and Kyrie combined for 64 points. That doesn't exactly apply anymore. I'm going with the Nets team total under. I'm not sure they get to 100 in this game.
All right. And what do you got for your dog?
For my dog, I'm going to take the Thunder on the money line. I just think that they are a good matchup against the Clippers. I think at the end of the day, the Clippers, yes, I know they have Kawhi back, and they've been very good with him on the floor. But I've really roasted the Clippers for their late-game execution for a while. And once again, this is probably 3-4 years down the road. I think Dagnall's going to win a Coach of the Year award. I think he's a tremendous head coach. Like, I think he's going to easily win an award when the OKC is actually competing for high seeds. But he's a great coach. I think Ty Lue is overrated. And I still think they're going to end up having issues to close out the game. I'm talking about the Clippers. So give me the Thunder on the money line. And the best price on that is, do you see a price on that, Munaf? That should be around money 225. Line?
I think I saw a plus 285.
285?
Let me see. Plus 225 is the highest. Okay. Yeah. It's probably adjusted.
I'll take 225 on the money line. I think OKC is pretty alive to win this game.
Okay. All right, for my lock here tonight, I am going to go over to the Pistons and Hawks game. I'm going to take the first half over in this game at 121.5.
I like that. I like that too.
Yeah. Again, Atlanta, we know, not playing any defense. And they put up the points as well, right? We talked about how since the All-Star break, they've been trending towards the over. In the first full game, where they are, I believe, 5-2. The only two games that did go under fell short by a basket, which was against the Trailblazers and the Warriors, like we talked about. But, you know, I know Pistons are missing a lot of guys, but I feel like they are going to be able to put up some points here, whether that's with Jaden Ivey, with the guys inside with Bagley, Wiseman. They've been really good since they picked them up, and they've actually been playing. So I think that, you know, Pistons should be able to do their part as far as scoring points. Again, Atlanta, we know that they can score points at will. They've been playing with a higher tempo. I think Trae Young should have a big game here. DeJounte is questionable here tonight. But again, I think there's more than enough on the inside as well, whether it's with John Collins. Okongwu has been a monster as far as creating second chance points and offensive rebounding for this Atlanta Hawks team. I think we'll see some back and forth, at least in the first half. So I'll take the first half over 121.5. I think for my dog, I'm in agreement with Scott as well, with the OKC here tonight, plus 225 on the money line, as well as the spread, obviously. Definitely shop around. There's some 6.5s right now popping up, but I do still see plenty of plus 7s out there as well. I think those were the only other dog.
I thought about some props. I mean, you could throw in the Zubac double-double plus 5. Like, there are some other props that we like, but...
Yeah. Sacramento money line as well, if you want to throw that out there, plus 175. I know they're on a back-to-back coming off a long road trip, but I think that they can definitely keep it within the number as a one-possession game coming down the stretch there against the Celtics. But officially, I'll go with the Thunder money line as well in this game. All right, guys, that is going to do it for this edition of the NBA Gambling Podcast. If you do want us to leave us a rating and review wherever you do listen to the podcast, whether it's on Spotify, whether that's on Apple, just scroll down a little bit, especially on Apple. You'll see where you can leave a rating and write a review. I did see two reviews that did come in. I can quickly shout those guys out. Give me just one second here. First one came from Igdalu Shandela. I'm probably butchering that, but they did leave us a 5-star review. They said, Lante, Rel, Munaf, and Scott, get it done on the show. You can listen or you can watch live on YouTube. They kill it. They do all the work to find your edge. This is the only NBA pod you need to listen to. Definitely appreciate the leaving us the review. Also, Will Galvin left us a review as well. Titled it, great stuff. 5-star. Love listening to the podcast. Whole crew is knowledgeable and gets down to business. Keep it up, y'all. Definitely appreciate you guys leaving us that review. So again, leave us a rating and review, whether it's on Spotify, whether it's on Apple, whether it's on Google Play. You'll see. Just do us a favor. It definitely helps us grow the show. And again, if you are watching live, there's about 58 of you right now, 60 of you, smash that like button for us. Definitely helps us, again, on the, algorithms and all that stuff on YouTube. Scott, anything else you want to mention before we get out of here, bud?
Not really. You can find me on Twitter, Rice Show Radio. I'll be doing an NFL show with Terrell later. We're going to be doing the second part of our mock draft. So looking forward to that. Besides that, got a tennis podcast tonight and, yeah, I don't know if you're going to be watching it or not, but it might be the most viewed baseball game of all time, and I'll probably be watching it. So looking forward to the World Baseball Classic Final.
Yep. I feel so un-American betting on Japan, but I'm sorry.
Look, this guy is just going against everything. Bro, yeah, I think I'm with you on Japan, though. I'm not.
I gotta tell you right now, though.
Yeah, come on. Man.
There's a lot of disrespect towards Merrill Kelly. He's actually been good for Arizona the last couple of years. Like, people are like, "Who's this guy?" So, you know, he's actually not bad.
Zach Gallen.
Gallen,
I like Gallen. A lot.
Low-key Cy Young candidate.
Yeah, love Zach Gallen.
Yep. All right, guys. Scott and Terrell will be back tomorrow around the same time for the NBA pod. So definitely check the guys out tomorrow.
You're betting on Yu Darvish in a big game. Bold move. Respect.
Darvish is pitching?
I thought it was supposed to be Darvish.
I thought it was Otani.
Otani? I thought Otani said that he was planning on hitting for. I think it's going to be a combo, but I think Darvish is technically starting.
If it's Darvish, I might lay off. But
I think Darvish might be getting the official start.
No, I need Otani to start, man. Darvish could get fucking banged up in the first inning. So
yeah, I know.
Starting for USA?
I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. I'll have to see who's starting. All right.
Is Merrill Kelly starting for the US? That's why I mentioned Merrill Kelly.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Right. Most of Twitter is going, who the hell is this guy? And I was like, no, he's actually been okay the last couple of
years. Yeah.
All right, guys. Again, like I mentioned, tune in tomorrow for the NBA Gambling Podcast. Again, 7 days a week. We still need 3 to 4 more reviews if we're going to go on the weekends. I did see 2 come in. So if you haven't already, just leave us a rating and review.
Yeah,
smash that like button before we get out of here. You can follow me on Twitter at SportsNerd824. Follow Scott on Twitter at Rychel Radio. Follow Delonte on Twitter at XXLanteXX. And follow the NBA Gambling Podcast account on Twitter at SGPNNBA. All right, good luck with your bets here tonight. Let's break these books off and let it ride.